from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Penny Nelson, and this is the California Report. Farm workers in California could earn more overtime pay if a bill approved by the Assembly yesterday becomes law. From KQED's Politics and Government Desk, Katie Orr reports.
AB 1066 had a bumpy road through the legislature. The bill would allow farm workers to earn overtime after 8 hours a day or 40 hours a week. An earlier version stalled in the legislature in June. The revived measure appeared short of the 41 votes it needed to pass the Assembly just last week. But its author, San Diego Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, persevered, and the bill passed Monday with 44 votes. Gonzalez noted many of the lawmakers who spoke in support of the measure had family members who worked in the fields.
There was probably a time in this legislature that everybody who spoke about this bill was a farmer. Absolutely. And now you have a broad range of folks. And so we have an ability to look towards the future and look towards equality for every one of our families.
Critics of the bill argued strongly it will be a financial burden for farmers and cause them to cut hours for farm workers to avoid overtime costs. The measure now goes to the governor. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Another bill headed to the governor's desk is legislation approved yesterday to mandate prison time for offenders convicted of sexually assaulting an unconscious person. The bill is a response to the sentence handed down to former Stanford student Brock Turner, who was convicted of assaulting a passed-out woman. Turner was given 6 months of jail time and 3 years of probation, but he's only serving half and is scheduled to be released this Friday. Marijuana legalization is on the ballot in 5 states this year, including California. Washington and Colorado paved the way for making recreational pot legal back in 2012. Since then, marijuana arrests have plunged in Washington. They've also gone down in Colorado, but not by as much. So what's the effect of legalizing marijuana on policing? We asked Austin Jenkins of the Northwest News Network in Olympia, Washington, to team up with the California Report's April Domboski to look into this.
I'm taking a walk around Lake Merritt in Oakland. Joggers are passing me on the right, and I dodge a couple strollers on the left. Along with the smell of sweat and goose poop, weed is an equally present aroma. Police seem to take a light-up-and-let-live attitude here. But when I cross paths with Nishanta Williams out walking her dog, she says it's not like this in other parts of the city.
I have been pulled over and been told that my car smells like marijuana and put on the sidewalk and had my vehicle searched. And I felt like they're fishing.
This was about 2 years ago. Williams was driving in East Oakland down High Street. No joke. William says in those African-American neighborhoods, people get profiled.
Back then, I drove a 94 Buick, so I think the stereotype falls into the play, too. Old car, smells like weed. What has she got going on? Who is she with?
Defense attorney James Clark's office window looks down on the lake. He says this stop-and-smell practice happens across the state. In California, the smell of marijuana gives police probable cause to search someone's entire vehicle. So if cops find something bigger, like guns or stolen property, Clark says that can turn a traffic stop into a felony.
You can imagine that if you're trying to advance your career by searching cars along the freeway, that this is a tool that would be difficult to resist passing up.
Both Clark and Nishanta Williams are wondering, if recreational pot gets legalized in California, could that be the end of this stop-and-smell practice? So, Austin, that's what's on the minds of voters in California. Did policing change up there in Washington State?
The short answer is yes, it did. And to get a sense of this, I went for a ride along with a Washington State Patrol sergeant named Nate Hovinghoff.
We'll clear here, and we'll head down 205 and head east on 40.
Sergeant Hovinghoff has been with the patrol for 11 years and works along the scenic Columbia River Gorge that divides Washington and Oregon, another state that recently legalized pot.
Yeah, so prior to legalization in Washington State, odor alone was enough to arrest.
If Hovinghoff pulled over a vehicle, say, for speeding and smelled marijuana, that gave him license to investigate further.
In my experience as a trooper, probably 90% of my felony arrests, they started with the odor of marijuana.
But once pot was legalized in Washington State, the rules of engagement changed.
Now when I stop a vehicle and I go up and I smell marijuana, if they're 21 years or over, it doesn't mean automatically a crime's occurred.
So April Hovinghoff says as long as the driver of the car is compliant with the law and not impaired, and that's key, it's basically have a nice day.
Yeah, but folks like Nishanta Williams aren't convinced that it will go down like that in California. The state already has liberal marijuana laws, but Williams doesn't think everyone will get a fair shake if pot is formally legalized.
What do I know will happen is they will use it as an in and probably try to harass whatever person of color is smoking, because what is legal for one is not necessarily what's legal for all.
In fact, recent data from police stops in Oakland show that African Americans are more likely than whites to be searched, handcuffed, and arrested.
And that question of disparity is very much in the minds of researchers who are tracking the effects of marijuana legalization. Mike Males is with the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. He released a study earlier this year that's been widely cited. It shows that while marijuana arrests dropped dramatically in Washington state, African Americans are still two times more likely to be arrested for marijuana-related offenses.
So there's still a large racial discrepancy. It doesn't solve that. It does reduce the overall impact of marijuana arrests, but it doesn't change the racial discrepancy as much.
The bottom line, says Males, who spoke via Skype, if one of the goals is to reduce marijuana-related arrests, then legalization appears to accomplish that.
But it sounds like he's also saying it's not going to resolve disparities in how the law is enforced or applied. For the California Report, I'm April Dembosky in Oakland.
And I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia, Washington.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, August 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.